Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurtured is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. I ask that you all please stop whatever it is you are doing. You find yourselves a quiet corner and listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurture. We certainly appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedules to tune in on a daily basis as different brethren present moments of inspiration that will encourage and strengthen our lives and our walk as Christians in the body of Christ. We're dealing with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. It covers three chapters, but we're in chapter 5. And just let us just recap a little bit for those of you that just may be joining the broadcast. In verses 3 through 9, Jesus laid forth some principles kingdom children must apply to their lives. In other words, this is the process that we develop into the type of people that God wanted his kingdom. We have rightfully so indicated that one must be a member of the Bible church. One must be in that church in order to be saved. One must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for remission of sins, and the Lord would add them to the body. And that is rightfully so. But I think we have failed somewhat in our duties and have been negligent therein by indicating and teaching people how to develop these principles or the process in which we develop into the kingdom children that God would have us to be. And then in verses 10 through 12, there's a price that we have to pay for adding these principles to our lives. One would think that if you add these principles that everything would be all right, but Jesus said that there's a price. There's some pain that you must go through. People are going to persecute you, revile you, and say all manner of evil against you. But in the developing of these principles in our lives and going through the pain and paying the price for developing these principles, Jesus says, I'm going to produce a product that is going to be beneficial to the body of Christ and also to the world. In verse 13, he said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall we be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And on last week, we began with verse 14. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus says the product that is produced from the principles being implemented into our lives and practiced and developed, we're going to go through some pain. We got to pay a price, but the product, we become salt. We become light. On last week, I indicated to you that the text is teaching us that light is clear and pure. It is clean. That is good. It's right. It's true. And I gave you Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Light also penetrates by nature. It cuts through and eliminates darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Light enlightens. It enlarges a person's vision and knowledge of an area. John 12, verse 35. Fourthly, light reveals. It opens up the truth of an area, a whole new world, and it clears up the way to the truth and the life. John 14, 6. John 12, 36. Light guides. It directs the way to go, leads along the right path, 12:46. Light strips away the darkness, John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And we come to number 7, light routs the chaos. In Philippians chapter 2, 15, Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Light gets rid of the chaos. It dissipates the chaos. It makes the world a better place in which to live. Number 8, light discriminates between the right way and the wrong way. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Light warns. It warns of danger that lies ahead in a person's path. And having, Paul said in Ephesians 5:11-14, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11-14. And finally, light protects. It protects a person from the dangers of darkness, from stumbling and falling and injuring himself. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul penned these words as he dipped his pen in the ink of inspiration. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Believers are now the light of the world. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, John 9 and verse 5. Jesus is no longer in the world, not bodily. His light is now in the lives of believers, and believers are reflections of him. A person's light is only as is a reflective light. He reflects the light of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 5, verse number 8. The character of light is pure. The believer is to walk in light, that is, in purity. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13, again, the Apostle Paul said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And again in Philippians, chapter 2 and verse number 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Jesus says the disciples' place is to shine in the world. The world is the place where believers are to move about and reflect their light, live and minister. Why? The world is unclear. The world is stumbling and groping, falling, unable to see, unaware, in chaos, in darkness, in trouble, danger, and undiscriminating. Note that the light is in the world, the city is in the world, and the candlestick is in the home. The same is true of believers. Believers occupy some space, some place in the world. Wherever that place is, they are to let their light shine. Ye are the light. The world has no other light. We are it. Therefore, the light is to be placed where its influence can be used and felt. What a lesson for us in our lives, in our work, our play. Every community, city, state, and nation, the world, is to be illuminated by the light of believers. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 47, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be a salvation unto the ends of the earth." That's right. We are to be the light of the world. I trust and pray that we've said something that will jolt our minds to contemplate, what kind of kingdom children are we? Are we implementing the principles or the process in which Jesus laid out in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 9? Are we willing to pay the price and go through the pain, Matthew 5, 10 through 12? Are we really willing to become the product that Jesus wants us to be, the salt and the light of the world, Matthew 13 through 15? At this time, we get away for prayer requests.
Thank you so much, Brother Jones, for a job well done on this morning. If you have a prayer request, please press the number 1 on your phone at this time. And when the last 4 digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every family represented on the call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. I thank you all so much for your prayers. As my husband and I traveled on this past weekend, we had an awesome, awesome time. We enjoyed each other as well as all of those who were with us. Thank you. 3964, state your request.
Yes, good morning. This is Sister Pam Williams. Thank the brother for the message this morning. Asking prayer for my family as a whole. God knows what we're in need of. But I'm especially asking prayer for a young lady at Rome High School that's in the band that has COVID-19. Pray for her family, but I'm also asking prayer for my son because he's in charge of the drummers there, and he was teaching her. So pray for my son that he does not have COVID-19 because he lives with my mom and my dad. So pray for my mom and my dad as well, that they're taking precaution as well, that everything will be well with them, and continue to pray for me that I'll be a Christian example and for my coworkers as well. Thank you.
Thank you. 2542, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Janice Graham. I want to thank the brother for the message, and I'm asking you all to please continue to pray for me, that the Lord would give me the strength that to go through what I'm going through with my granddaughter, and that she change her ways. And I'm just asking, Lord, that you all pray for her safety and that she would make up her mind what she want to do. And pray for my daughter as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your prayer requests. We'll now have our closing prayer by Brother Roger Jones.
Kind and gracious Father, we come. We thank you for allowing us to awake out of the sleeping slumber of the night and to see another day. Mm-hmm. Father, we come in behalf of Sister Pam and her family, for the young lady that's in the band, for her son that is over the drummers, that lives with her mom and dad. We pray that she, the young lady, will get over the COVID-19 and that her son and mom and dad has not been infected. But Father, we know that you're able to do exceeding and abundantly above that which we're able to ask or think. And if it's according to your will, grant this family their request. Pray for Sister Janice Graham and her granddaughter. Granddaughter perhaps has kind of lost her way. We ask that Sister Janice would be patient, the family would be patient, the church would be loving, that the young lady will come to a better understanding before it's eternal and everlastingly too late. Be with her daughter. Grant her needs as well. We're so thankful, Father, for Sister Danielle and her husband and those that traveled with them, that they had a safe journey and a safe return home and enjoyable time while away. And Father, we pray for those that are on this call this morning that may be hurting, that may be going through trials, tribulations, and temptations into those situations, and grant what you see is in their needs and give them in a timely fashion. But at the same time, Father, help us to hold to your unchanging hand. Father, we ask that you will go with us throughout the remaining of this day and direct our steps, help us to keep our minds stayed on you and to bring glory and honor to your name and be that light in the world that men must we do to be saved before it's eternal and everlasting too late. Continue to bless Brother Bradshaw and his family and the Graceview Church. Continue to bless them in the ways that they stand in need of as well. For we ask it all in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.